Heavenly Father, we thank you that by your great and endless grace and mercy that you've gathered us here to hear more of your precious, matchless word. God, I just ask an anointing on every heart here. I ask that you just anoint your word, God, that it would just come forth in truth, in love, in boldness, in that power of the Holy Spirit. God, we are so thankful that you're mindful of us, God, that you sent your son to die for us, and that he rose on that third day, and he sits at your right hand, ever making intercession for us. And God, we just so look forward to that day when we'll be with him in the air, to be forever with him as his wife. Thank you, Father. We could never thank you enough. We just ask your blessing on these next few precious moments that you've given us to learn more of Jesus and to fall more in love with him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. So thankful to the Lord. It's the word of his grace, and it's a merciful word. It's an endless, matchless word. And what the Lord's put on my heart to share with you tonight, he actually kind of started stirring in my heart before Christmas even. Just happens to be one of my favorite words. It comes up a lot at Christmas time, but it's all the time is that word Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's God as Christ with us. Christ as God. And I remember about mid-December one morning, I remember Tammy and Macy saying about Emmanuel, and then the choir saying about Emmanuel. And I love that. I just kind of took that as kind of a sufficient witness in a way, just what God was kind of working in my heart. But when you think about this, Emmanuel was holy and immortal God, came to dwell with man, as a man. He took on, that's God incarnate in the flesh. He came in the flesh. And Jesus, he came to be with us. Jesus came to eat with us, talk with us, walk with us, feel our pain, experience our joy, all of that. So, considering that tonight, where I think the Lord will continue to lay down some more lines of precious treasure, we're going to take a look at the phrase with Christ. Now, Wednesday nights, pastor's been talking about in Christ, which is amazing. I hope you don't miss a single, don't miss a single anything whenever the word of God is preached, but the amazing depths of in Christ, and then there's with Christ. And I know that the in Christ, I think pastor has mentioned, occurs 70 some times in the word of God. It's pretty amazing. It's a pretty good amount. With Christ is only 9 times though. And that's the exact phrase. You have phrases with the Lord or with him referring to the Lord. It's probably hundreds if you would count all those up. But the particular phrase in Christ is 9 times. 8 of them are in Paul's epistles. 8's that bridal number, new creation. 1 is in Revelation chapter 20. So you have 8 plus the 1. You have 9, which is the number of completion. So I'm just taking this from the hand of the Lord. Nothing is an accident in the word of God. And the word is perfect if it's nothing else. It's definitely perfect, isn't it? So we can just take a clue from that right there. So, when you start to think about the riches of with Christ, there's first the person of Christ. It's him. It's not with anybody else. It's with Christ. That's Christos in the Greek. It means anointed one. Isn't that precious? Our anointed. He's Messiah, but he's anointed Messiah. Anointed above all the brothers, but yet his death and subsequent resurrection, he called us that we can rule and reign with him on a throne, equal with him. I know that's pretty amazing, maybe hard to process a little bit when we think about us. But then again, when you think about us with Christ, we just look to the word of God, and we're just encouraged in it. So we can say that. John 1:1, tells us, this is speaking of Jesus, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's your anointed Messiah right there. That is Jesus Christ. And then the word with. So we have with Christ. In those nine verses, there's four different Greek words that express with. And we're just going to go through them. And it's been such a joy to my heart, exceeding joy, actually. Just trusting God that He always knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it, how we need it. And His faith to my life, and I'm sure to yours, is absolutely amazing. And we can be thankful for that. But the first three verses that we're going to take a look at, the word is for with Christ is actually that Christos. It's just Christ. It's not separate from Him. And I think isn't that kind of cool? Because really the wife is not separate from Him either. So I love it. So let's go to Romans 8:17. We'll just start, just run right out of the gate, pretty much. Familiar verse to all of us, thank the Lord. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. That's God's family, His children, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So there's the first with Christ. And again, this is just Christos. If you look up that with Christ, it'll just say Christos. It's just Him. Isn't that wonderful? And we know in this verse too, we also have that wonderful word, sukleronimos, the joint heir. That's the with Christ heir. That's the spouse. Children are heirs, but they're not the spouse. They're children. There's a huge difference there. We can think about that, that sukleronimos, an heir together with someone. That's the spouse. So, thankful to Jesus for that. All right? And we know Jesus won't marry a child. We have in the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite had a little sister, but she was not of marriage age or maturity. She just wasn't. She was a sister of the family of God. But the Shulamite was the one that was mature. She was the marriage material. Amen? And the same thing with us. The word is true. Thank you, Jesus. All right, the next one, let's go over. And we were in this one this morning, Galatians 2:20. And I hope, you know, these are going to be familiar scriptures to you, I think. And it's precious because I hope we're familiar with Christ and with the scriptures of with Christ. I was kind of excited about that when I read through these. All right, Galatians 2:20. We know this, I am crucified with Christ. Yes, that's right. Nevertheless, I live. Okay, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So here we are crucified with Christ. You know, when we baptize, we go, it's a full immersion. I was sprinkled as a baby. It didn't mean anything to me, honestly. I don't remember it. It's of no effect to me whatsoever. Some people thought I got saved then. No. How could I get saved when I didn't even, anyway. But praise the Lord, at a little bit older age and a different time, at a meeting we're at, I had a full baptism. I just felt to do that. It was wonderful. But we go all the way under, and we come up raised in new life. Amen. It didn't stop at going under. We come up, and we're raised into new life. So thank you, Jesus. But you think about Christ as a man died. He did. For your sin, for mine, for all time. And when He died, He put that sin away once for all. It's as far as the east is from the west. And how can you tell how far that is? Well, the point is you really can't. So that's how far sin is away from God, your sin, because of Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen. I love it here how Paul makes it clear that it's his life in the flesh. He was a human, Paul. And like we heard about this morning, there's a frustration there. It's like, I know the right thing. It's time to just not seem to be capable of doing the right thing. We know right from wrong. We're not ignorant of that. It's a struggle. It's a good fight of faith, isn't it? To fight of faith, to apprehend more grace, to lay hold of more, Jesus, help me. He will. He's there for you. But it's the life in the flesh that lives by the faith of the Son of God. And if you don't live a life of faith, you're not living a life, not in Christ, not with Christ. So we can be encouraged. Galatians 5:24 makes it clear that the old nature, the flesh, is counted dead. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's what the blood did. It's taken care of all of that. So there you go. We're free. He who Christ has made free is free indeed. Period. End of the sentence. All right. The third, with Christ. It's this word Christos again. Let's go over to Colossians. Colossians 3, 1. Paul writes, if ye then be risen with Christ, oh hallelujah, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So we're buried with Christ, but then we are risen with him. And Paul is encouraging these saints at Colossae, is look up. Look up. Don't be looking around. Be looking down. Look up. Right? Don't be distracted. That's what he was really saying. Don't be distracted. One of the devil's handy little tools, distraction. Oh, look, a squirrel. Right? Sometimes I think that about, I'm like, what am I doing thinking about that? Take every thought captive to Christ. Amen. By the power of Christ that lives in you, you can do that. Amen? You can. I love that. But the thing is, we know our inheritance. We're seated in the heavens with Christ, in Christ. So he's like, pay attention to that. We'll encourage you. Encourage yourself in the Lord. David did, so you can encourage yourself in the Lord with that. All right, the next four verses, we come to where the word with is S-Y-N in the Greek. And usually it's tacked on the front of another word or letters to make up a word. So it's like with something. And I love this because it means union, with or together, by association, companionship. Love that word. Process. Resemblance, possession, instrumentality. You think of the vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. That's instrumentality. That's being useful. Addition, and my favorite one, completeness. There's a completing with Christ. In a sense, he won't be complete without his wife, without you. Now you say, how can that be? He's God. God incomplete? Well, not in a sense. But Christ, that person of the Godhead, the word's pretty clear. He won't take the throne until he has his wife. So he's not complete in a sense. Amazing. Really amazing. Thank you, Jesus. And this is the closeness, this S-Y-N, like a husband and a wife. So close that she's just like him. And really, when you think about it, if you're really that's how you become like something. You're just it. There's no schisms, no difference. All right. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Get there myself here in a second. 6, 8, and 9. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And you know what, precious believers in Jesus, death has no dominion over you either. It does not. Death is swallowed up in victory for the believer. And even an exceeding victory for the overcoming believer, for the wife of the Lamb. Amen? Gosh, so much here. My goodness. So, again, we're free from sin. When God looks upon his sons, he sees his son. Hopefully a mature son. He wants to see mature sons. So this is why we have Paul's gospel. It's the grow up gospel. It's the grace gospel. Grace is what will grow you up. Ask God. He is an amazing, endless giver of all good things, every good gift. You know, when you can settle your mind and your heart in that God is only for you, that doesn't mean you won't make errors. That doesn't mean things will be easy. Of course it doesn't. But it means God's for you. That's just his word. Amen. He's for you. More than you can possibly imagine, he's for you. I pray that we see this. I really do. Let's go back to Colossians. Here's another one. Colossians 2. This time it'll be Colossians 2:20. We had Galatians 2:20. Now we'll go to Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. That's like the base things of the world. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. Isn't that amazing? After the commandments and doctrines of men. Here we go. This is in Colossians again. Colossians is that book that's the correction of the sons of God. And I pray that we receive correction from the Lord when he gives it. He loves you. That's why he does it. But Paul here is saying to the Colossians, he's addressing some legality. He's like, why, if you're dead with Christ from these base things of this world, why are you subject to them? And the truth is you're not, but men will put themselves under these things. Man does that. God doesn't. Amen. We're not under the law. There's no legality. It's liberality in Christ. It's total opposite. It's total opposite. So you think about this. We're not subject to those. We should live. We live to Christ, not to man. And again, this is one of those things where if you're just looking up and looking to Jesus, you don't even have to worry about that stuff. It'll just roll off in a way. And I pray that really seriously that it does, that your heart's there, keeping your mind on Christ. All right, here's another one. Go back another chapter in Colossians to 3, Colossians 3, 3 and 4. It says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And there's really an eternity in that. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. And that's right back to Romans 8:17. Glorified together with him, when he shall appear, we'll be just like him. Again, no difference. Think of this hidden life. The secret things of God are precious. And a lot of times it's that work that's between you and him. It's just that table for two. It's not a crowded place at all. I think about in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. King Solomon said this of the Shulamite. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock. That's like kind of a secret. That's a sheltered place. That cleft of the rock. In the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. He wanted to see her. She's hidden away. You know the bride's hidden away today. She's not acknowledged by the world. She's not even preached from hardly a pulpit. Sad. I know. It is sad. Amen. We can be happy that we're in a place where it is preached over this pulpit, though. Amen. Happy. Be happy. Be joyful, exceeding joyful. But you think of this, the clefts of the rock that is higher than I. Amen? The secret places of the stairs. You know, stairs are like a climb. They're like an ascent, aren't they? But that's, again, your hidden life with Christ. It's an ascending life, all right. It is. But it's a secret life in a way. Just because it's intimate. The crowd is not intimate. It's not. But you and Jesus, you with Christ, that is. It can be. If you want it, he wants it for you. All right. Now here is the last occurrence of with Christ as this S-Y-N word. Let's go over to Philippians. Philippians, the first chapter, 23 and 24. Wow, this one always, this, precious brother Paul, writing to the race runners. Paul writes, "For I am in a strait betwixt two." It's a little tension there. You can read it. A little bit of tension. "Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Amen. Amen, brother Paul. Can all say that. "Nevertheless," here we go, "to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." You know, Paul obviously knew when he says, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ," he knew that with Christ was marriage with Christ. Again, not a casual friendship, but this marriage call, Paul had it. He was the chosen vessel that brought it to us. But you think about this here. He admits his desire to depart and go be with Christ, be married to Christ, to Jesus, which is far better. He knew that, we know that, far better. But he says, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." That's, I think, one of my favorite things about Paul and any overcomer, about Christ himself, putting others always before self. You have that vision in your heart. I'm confident all of us would rather Jesus come right now and we just go and stay here. Are you kidding? It's a no-brainer. But we're here for however long we're here. And when we're here for each other. We're here to glorify God, to magnify his Son, to be full of the Holy Spirit and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have that anointing, to be a salve to people. I'm glad we can relate to Paul in this. I think we can. But that's a mark there. It's needful for you that I abide in the flesh. All right. And you think about that word needful. It means what one cannot do without. You know, there's needs and there's wants, and they're different. You can want godly things, don't get me wrong, but a lot of times wants can tend to the flesh, they can. But a need is like, "I need you, Jesus. I need you, bridegroom, Jesus." That's needful. That's the need. And the thing is, he needs you too. So it's not a one-way street. Everything's always mutual with that love that he's put in your heart. So, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, the next with Christ. Let's go over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. This is a different word. It's sizopio. It's a big word. It means to make one alive together or to quicken. And I love that. That quicken is like a reanimation. It's like to bring from death to life. Now, Christ's death on the cross and resurrection, that risen life of his that lives in you, that's a quickening. You think about Adam, the first Adam, was made of the dust of the ground here. Then there was Eve, the rib portion, the rib that was taken out of him. But then there was the second Adam, Jesus, is a quickening spirit. It's the last Adam, actually. First Adam and last Adam. So you go from man to quickening spirit. And that's that spirit that's in you, that's quickening. I think about how many times in the Word David wrote, "Quicken me, Lord, according to your word." Because it's the word that'll quicken. It'll bring you to life. It'll bring you more life. It'll bring you life more abundantly. Amen. Right? Amen. I hope we get this. Ephesians 2:5. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And it says it here, by grace you're saved. And that's the truth. Because it had to be grace. It was grace that brought your heart to even want to say, "Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I don't want to do this life anymore. I want you to do it." That was grace that got you there. It was grace. So then you have a new life in Christ. An abundant, wonderful life. And again, that's done by the word. So you get saved. So then what? Okay, then we grow up. So you start reading this word. And it starts quickening you. And then you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And wow, then that enlightening of the eyes of your heart, you start to really see everything there is. And then we're just, you know, as they say, off to the races. I mean, literally, off to the race to win Christ as bridegroom. Amen? 1 Peter 3:18. Peter wrote, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." That's an understatement, isn't it? Wow. "That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Amen? Death is to the flesh, but life is by the Spirit. Romans 8:11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." I'm thankful that God is really clear about things. Very clear. Just read the word and just let it settle in your heart. All right, the ninth one. Here we go. Although this isn't the end of the road, I'll tell you, it's not. It just gets more exciting. It's just like ramping up. With Christ, let's go to Revelation chapter 20. And this is another, a different word. Different word. It's the word called meta. And it means with or among, actually. Among or after. Revelation 20, verse 4. "And I saw thrones." This is, oh, by the way, this is a time when the devil is cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, the time when the millennial reign will start. Christ will have his wife and rule and reign. And this is verse 4. "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, this is not the bride, this is the faithful remnant, because it describes them here. beheaded for the witness of Jesus, the Word of God, had not worshiped the beast or his image or received his mark. That's the faithful remnant that we're talking about there. But again, they have their place. It does say, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It's ranks. It's just what it is. Amen? And thankful here. So we have this word meta. Among and also after. Wow. So it's after the marriage, but they're ruling and reigning still with Christ 1,000 years. Now, in conclusion, just to take this a little bit further, it's kind of like when you've run that race and you're kind of at the, I almost felt like after God had given me this, he's like, I'm not done yet. I was like, man, I'm tired. In a good way. It's okay, God can wear me out. It's all right. It's a good wearing out. So remember Emmanuel, going back to God with us, specifically God as Christ with us. So it's us with Christ too, isn't it? And then we also have the in Christ that we've been hearing about for a few weeks here and probably will for a few more. Thank you, Jesus. So put with and together within, and you have within. And this is amazing. In the Old Testament, within. What do you think within refers to most of the time in the Old Testament? The inner chambers. Or inner chamber, could we say, of the tabernacle, the temple Ezekiel saw, even. Within. It's an inner chamber. It's even a bed chamber. I don't think it gets much more intimate than that. I really don't. The most intimate place. Song of Solomon 1:4. You'll remember this. The Shulamite. And remember, this is at the beginning of the Song of Solomon. There's 8 chapters. This is chapter 1, verse 4. The Shulamite says, draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. That's wonderful. You'll notice there's quite a few we's in there. She was still running with the herd a little bit. We will run after thee. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. But there's two things where it's me. Draw me. And this is a personal thing. This is the kisses of his mouth. This is his word personally to you. It's always got to be draw me, Lord. You draw me personally. And he will because he wants to more than you want him to. I can guarantee you. And then the other thing that is just me, the king hath brought me into his chambers. She didn't say the king brought all of us into his chambers. He brought her. I don't know how you can talk your way out of that one. I don't think you can. I don't think we would want to. But just, again, just read the word. It's clear. But you see, that drawing was already, and that was his vision already for her. And she acknowledged it. She's like, I'm already there. Thank you, Jesus. Now in the New Testament, the word within, the majority of the time, it has to do with this inner man, the soul, the inward man. The outward man perishes. But the inner man, it gains strength in Christ, because that's with Christ, that's in Christ. Within, the inner man, the soul. And you know there's no love like soul love. Why do we call it a soulmate? But you know the real soulmate is Jesus, isn't it? Amen. The real one. The only one. It's your first love. You've only got one of those. If you have others, you always only had one first love. All right. Hebrews 6:9. Hebrews 6:9. This speaks of the Holy of Holies and of Christ. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, Jesus, the forerunner, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, when you think about that, past the veil is into the Holy of Holies. That's what that's talking about. That's past the courts. You've just gone into that most inner sanctuary. I love it. The word forerunner means one who comes in advance to a place where others are to follow. So you can track that where we say we follow Paul as he followed Christ. Paul is a forerunner. Jesus is a forerunner. We go. We follow. Amen? And we follow right into marriage fellowship. It's not a random path. It's not a path that just ends up like, where are we? It's very specific. It's a specific mark. The blood of Jesus made the way. And when you think about what is in the Holy of Holies, the ark with its covering mercy seat, with the cherubims who are looking at the blood, it's endless. I don't know, when I just vision that, just in my mind, my heart, it's endless, literally, but it's like clear. It's the forever vision. It's what he's put in your heart. And that's the only place you're going to find it, is right there in that Holy of Holies on the mercy seat. I don't think we can be thankful enough ever. All right, we'll just, here's a closing verse here. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, it's the family of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near, Lord, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Amen. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I trust that it has. Thankful to God for the word of his grace, how immense it is. We could never exhaust it. Till he come, right, brothers and sisters? Till he come. Amen. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.